Well, as a boy, I grew up to the mantra of Roy Orbison's 1962 classic song, Working for the Man. The first song reads, "Hey now, you better listen to me, every one of you. We've got a lot of work to do. Forget about your woman and that water can. Today, we're working for the man." You didn't think I was going to sing that, did you? Every time there is work to do in the yard or around the house, my father will start singing that song. And I do apologise, as it'll probably be in the back of your minds for the rest of the day. But before we start, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at the topic of work today, help us to have a clear understanding of what work you really want us to do and how to demonstrate it as Christian men and women. Amen. In the passage that just has been read to us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, regarding work, it states, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters." We are to commit ourselves to dedicated work, and we know that there is no labour in this world that can grant us passage to eternity with the Lord. So what is it that the passage is asking us to do to be in favour with the Lord? Who is to serve, and what type of work should we be doing to reflect God's glory? What should be our mindset as how to serve the Lord? Work is not new in the Bible. When we start to read the Bible from the very first chapter, we start to see work being done. In Genesis, the Lord creates an earthly Eden for what will be his children's home. God created the heavens and the earth, darkness and light. He created sky, the land and sea. He gave life to the earth with vegetation, created night and day, and all the creatures to inhabit the earth, and it was good. He created man to tend his creation, and he created a helper, a companion for Adam, Eve, and the Lord was happy with his work. Now, the word work appears 555 times in various forms in the Bible, 384 times in the Old Testament, and 171 times in the New Testament. In most cases, it talks of toil in service to the Lord. So what does all this have to do with the modern day times of today? Today, work can be in the form of relationships, trying to maintain those relationships and sustain those relationships, working with other people in community projects, or just giving somebody a hand. We also work in order to obtain money. Money to clothe ourselves and to buy food, to pay for or rent accommodation, and generally to survive or live well. Now, there is no problem with doing any of this work, but we all know that there is no amount of money or good deeds that can gain us entry into heaven. It is through the gift of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of the Lord, that has been given to us freely to obtain our passage. And we can read this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "It is by grace you have been saved, and not by works." Our attitude of appreciation should be like that of submission of an employee to his or her manager to provide us with income to meet our worldly needs. So should our attitude and behaviour be the same to our heavenly master. We know that our heavenly reward is eternity with the Lord. Now, I have been working for Dulux now for 24 years in various roles. Some I have enjoyed and some I have not. I've spent too much time at the workplace, as many of you have as well. I've been guilty of spending more time at work instead of at time at home with my family, my friends, or spending time in the Lord's Word or doing the Lord's work. The work-life balance can be very difficult to balance sometimes. I've attended many Christian conventions, men's weekends, conferences, and returned back home wanting to do God's work the very next day. But I came crashing back to reality, understanding that I do not have the formal training or perfect understanding of the Bible in order to instruct others. Is this a wrong understanding of what God's work should be? Of course it is. In our Colossians verse, Paul writes, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters." What does this mean? How can we better understand this passage, and how does this instruct us to work for the Lord? Well, the passage can be broken up into three main parts. Part one, whatever you do. In the first part of the verse, we read, whatever you're working on, whether it is your work, relationships, family, or even a church activity, work is not defined as a single task, but as everything we do. At our place of employment, we diligently work knowing that if we don't work in a satisfactory manner, our boss will be displeased with our efforts. So we work hard in order to make the boss happy. We work for our reward. But we also work for gratification of a job well done. This is not unusual, for it is a human nature that we look for acknowledgement of good work. I know that sometimes when I work, it's not for a bonus, it's not for the recognition or promotion, but it's just a satisfaction that I have given my all to please my boss and my customers. Our attitude in service to the Lord's work should be the same as well. We don't have to worry about being terminated for a failure to do 100%, but we should be concerned about whether the work we do is gratifying the Lord's love for us. And are we serving him for his glory? Serving the Lord does not necessarily need to be from the front of the church. We'll be served later at morning tea. We have people who type our bulletins, people who serve behind the scenes in order to make the parish function as a church. Not just those paid roles, but those in voluntary roles who desire nothing else other than to serve the Lord in functions that best fit their capabilities and their love for Jesus and this place. We can also serve the Lord in our workplace, communities, and in our own homes just by reflecting the Lord's love for us. Part two, working with all your heart. Jesus committed to us his everything. He placed himself on the cross in order for us to be saved. He didn't leave anything to chance. We too should give 110% in all that we do in service for the Lord and not leave anything to chance. We should be committed to see the task through for God's glory, not our own. We sometimes think that we are not capable of such service. We think, as I have in the past, that because I have not had theological training, I'm not fit to teach or serve. I would hazard a guess that you're not at church today because there is nothing on TV at this hour of the day to watch. Or is it because you have a love for Christ to attend church today, to fellowship with your brothers and sisters, to be fed God's word through the scriptures and those who are standing before you? You have shown just by being here today that your heart is with Christ. So to serve him with all your heart, this will not be difficult to you if you have the desire and willingness to do so. When actions are in love, our attitude will come naturally. This does not mean that life will be easy, though. We do them because Christ first loved us, and we see this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. Part 3. As working for the Lord, not for human masters. What better supervisor or boss to have than the Lord? We know what his promises are. They are written in the book of life, the Bible. His direction, expectations, and promises are outlined throughout the Bible, and God fully reveals himself to us and points us to Jesus in the Old Testament to the New Testament. The earthly master, however, he or she is not the same constant as yesterday, or won't be the same tomorrow. People come and go in our lives and often do not provide a constant example or give us the same direction or task for us to follow. The expectations change from one person to another, and the goals or rewards change and promises can be broken. They're not always the same, and they're certainly not redeemable in eternity. We read in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if we please the Lord and make him our priority, we can be assured of our reward, because the Lord's promises do not change, because Christ has fulfilled this on the cross and is seated at the right hand of God, where he has prepared a place for us. We should not perceive work as a means to provide food on the table or a punishment to fit the crime, as we sometimes feel, but as an opportunity to serve the Lord in our workplaces, our communities, in our churches, and in our homes. As mirrors of Christ, reflecting God's love for us, through us can come to have a relationship with Christ. We should leave here today knowing that we are all workers, whether young or old, at school, in the workforce, at home, or retired. We are all servants of the Lord, not just employees, whom we want to serve unconditionally to bring the world closer to Christ and for them to have everlasting peace and eternity with the Lord. As a mirror reflects an image, how much more should we reflect Christ in all we do for God's glory, to bring others into relationship with Christ? Are you working for the man or working for God and the glory of Christ? Thank you.